Christ that we are healed. And folks, as a child of God and what it means to be a child of God, we must practice putting on the full armor of God. And there are two things this morning I want to share with you in this message. Number one, the armor. And then number two, how to do it. You know, we can sit here all day and talk about putting on the full armor of God. And I can tell you specifically and go back to first century and show you why it was written the way it was written and the situation in the life. But then what do we do when we walk out of these buildings? What do we do when we leave here today when we put into practice putting on the full armor of God? Obviously, the scripture does not mean physical armor. We're talking about a spiritual realm. But is there something you and I must do every day of our life to put on the full armor of God? And without hesitation, the answer to that question is yes. So I hope you have your Bibles with you this morning. I hope you have your bulletin in front of you with an outline because I want you to follow with me there. And also fill in the blanks with me this morning because what I want to give you this morning is what we give you every Sunday here is the Word of God. And it never comes back as void. It never comes back as nothing. It is the Word of God. It's the Word of God that convicts men of their sin. Not what I say. It's what we sing, what we speak through the Word of God. That's where conviction happens. So I want you to go with me as I take you through with a Roman soldier. In your bulletin this morning and on the screen, I have that same illustration of the Roman soldier. And what I want to do is fill in the blanks. The first thing is to show you the armor. And the first part of the Roman soldier's armor was the belt of truth. And that belt of truth was very interesting. You see, it's the first thing that had to be ready for the Roman soldier. It's telling us, the Bible says, literally, stand therefore, having girded your loins, your waist with truth, having put on and be ready with this belt. The Roman soldier's costume, everything hung on this belt. But isn't it very interesting that the first armor for the Christian is called the belt of truth? Everything holds around the belt for the soldier. Everything in your Christian walk will hold around the truth with the capital T of the message of Jesus Christ in your life. Without the truth, without the belt of truth or the belt for the Roman soldier, his outfit wouldn't stay on. It would sway from side to side. Without putting on the belt of truth for the child of God, what's going to happen to you? You're going to sway from side to side. You're going to be a fence straddler. And according to my book, my Bible, what it says, the Word of God, in the church at Laodicea, what happens to the church or to the group or to the individual who's a fence straddler? The Bible says, Jesus says, you make me throw up. The belt of truth keeps you from swaying from one doctrine to the other. The belt of truth held up the outfit, the armor of the Roman soldier. And he put on the full armor of God. Now that's the second thing. When Jesus looked at Thomas and he said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will ever come to the Father but by me. He meant exactly what he said. It is the absolute truth, period. Without question, the belt. And sometimes we dismiss that little piece of armor that the soldier wore, which covered all of his front, but yet held everything together. Without the belt of truth, he can't put on anything else of his armor. And then the second thing that's attached, that what that belt of truth holds together, the Bible says it's called the breastplate of righteousness. Now the breastplate covered that Roman soldier from his neck all the way down to his waist to that belt and across the top of his shoulders. The breastplate covered that, but it covered what? What was the breastplate intended to protect? The heart. The heart of the Roman soldier to keep him from being killed, should we say quickly, to say the least. And the believer's heart must be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and the righteousness that he gives to you. Now, how are you and I made righteous? There's only one way. Many people trust their works. They think they do a lot for Jesus, they'll be righteous. If they go to church enough, they'll be righteous. Boy, the devil sold you a lie big time if you believe that. Righteousness comes from one way, and we just sang about it, by the blood of Jesus. Because 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to cleanse you from all of that unrighteousness. What does he do? He covers us with his blood, by his blood. So the breastplate of righteousness is to cover the heart, to keep that heart righteous. Because when a man is saved, God gives you that righteousness. I like what Dr. Kenneth Wiest says, Greek scholar, to say the least. He made a quote regarding this particular verse, and he said, as the soldier covers his chest with the breastplate to make it secure against a disabling wound, so the Christian is to endue himself with righteousness so as to make our heart and will foolproof against the fatal thrust of Satan and his assailants. Wow. And then the third part of that armor, and sometimes we really forget this, it's found right down here. It's called the shoes of peace, of the gospel of peace. A Roman soldier, when he wore shoes, as he usually did as far as the officer and as the soldier himself was concerned, was a sign of readiness. It was a readiness to march into battle. It helped the soldier to stand firmly and steady on that rough terrain. But there was something different about those sandals. If you go back in history and you look at pictures of a Roman sandal, look at the bottom of them. Now my shoes and yours probably are just as like that. The Roman soldier, incidentally, he had to buy these himself. They weren't put on and given to him as armor. Wore studs on the bottoms of those sandals. Now, those sandals were curved on the top. It had many different straps so they would not rub blisters. They were tied up the ankle. And then on the bottom of those shoes were just like studs, much like, well, this were old pieces of metal they put up in there in the sole. And what were they designed to do? Two things. First of all, in rough terrain, that soldier could stand there and he could hunker down, as we say, and not move. And when the Bible says for the soldier to stand, the soldier stood. And I'm not talking about just standing up like this at attention. I'm talking about he's got that, much like a baseball player, much like a center fielder does, or any of them do. You'll sit out there and see those cleats of that football player get ready. He's ready to go at a minute's notice. He's set to move. So those shoes, however, were the shoes of peace, not of war. Isn't that interesting? We're in a spiritual war. What should you and I do as Christians wearing the armor of God? In the workplace, in the school, wherever we are, we need to have on the shoes of peace. We are to do what? Be peacemakers. The peace of Christ, which passes what? All understanding. The spiritual armor of peace, ladies and gentlemen. And that peace comes from the good news of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done for you and me. Lehman Strauss said it like this, the soldier's shoes are not the dancing slippers for the world or the lounging slippers of the slothful, but the shoes of the Christian warrior who knows Christ and makes Christ known. But you got to put them on. You got to realize you're wearing them every day of your life. And then the next part of this armor over here is called the shield of faith. Now let me tell you something about the shield of faith. When you look at a Roman soldier and you look at some of the old movies, it shows this Roman soldier with a shield that's kind of round, a little round thing. That's biblically inaccurate. The soldier's shield in the first century was this shield right here. Now, that guy's probably about 6 foot tall. I built one of these things one time from the specs I found from old Josephus stuff. And when I did, you know, usually the shield comes to right here on the little 6 foot shoulder soldier. Well, for me, it came up to about right here. You can just see my head over the top of it. Well, here's what the idea was with the shield. You see, these Roman soldiers formed a line called a tortice, literally. And what it did was this. It took those shields. They got crouched, not knelt, ladies and gentlemen, but crouched behind the shield, and then each soldier on the front line turned them. The soldier always carried the shield in the left arm. That was a requirement. And when he put it down and they turned it, guess what they formed against the enemy? A wall. All of a sudden, the army disappears. What the shield is for you is called the shield of faith. Why? To protect you, the Bible says, from the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, here's what happened. The enemy used some type of pitch or combustible material on that arrow, and it was fire. And so when those things were shot, if the soldier was behind his shield, and the shield is not straight across, the shield is just like your picture shows. It is oblong. This is made with layered pieces of wood. It's heated, it's turned, and then it's lined on the edges with copper, which keeps the shield its shape. It is then covered with some type of fireproofing material per se that they had and put on back then. But yet the idea was, and the reason of the shield being like this, is because when those darts, those arrows of fire came to that Roman wall, what would happen? Would they stick in that wall or would they stick in that shield? Most likely no, for one reason, because it was curved. And when the soldier got behind his shield and those fiery darts came in, which when they hit, ladies and gentlemen, they just went everywhere. They exploded. So if they had not had a shield, the fire would have literally, many of those soldiers would have burned to death. But it's called the shield, ladies and gentlemen, of faith. It is to protect the very fiery darts of Satan himself and what the Satan can do. And when the believer takes up the shield of faith, those fiery darts are stopped by Satan. They are quenched so we can defend ourselves in our daily battles. It is protect who we are and our very bodies and in Christ. Because our bodies are what, Romans 12? We are his temple. We are dedicated to his service without question because we belong to God. The shield of faith. Faith more than just believing there's a God. Remember the book of James, even the devil believes in God and trembles. Belief in God doesn't save you, ladies and gentlemen. Faith in him does. Knowing him without question and trusting the fact that he is God and that he took every sin you'd ever commit to a cross and died for you. What Miss Pam said a minute ago, for God so loved Randy Cheek, that God saved Randy Cheek, not because of anything Randy did, but everything God did through the power of his blood on the cross. And now I must arm myself daily with the shield of faith. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this past week, the devil hadn't been on just simply on my coattails. He's been all over me. I don't know about you. But that shield of faith has covered. But we're so good, at least I am, of letting that shield of faith down, saying, God, I can let that shield of faith rest. I can handle this one. You ever try that? You ever try that and say, God, you got others. This is not a big deal. Hang on. I'll take my shield, put it over here, and I'll handle this. And then you fall flat on your face. If I had any sense at all, I'd go pick up the shield and carry it with me all the time in my heart and be covered. And I'm going to show you how to do that in just a minute. And then finally, we go up here to the helmet of salvation. This past Friday, I was riding with the police department. We were called out to a pretty serious motorcycle accident on Interstate 75. Michael and I just happened to be the first one to respond. And we were riding up the emergency lane. Dad, and Michael said, hold on, Dad, I'll be okay. We'd been going about 110 mile an hour to get there. And I said, wow, if you've ever been in the police car running 110 mile an hour with blue lights on, you're holding on for dear life, especially when it's your son doing the driving. We get in the emergency lane, and we get over there, and we find the folks. And they had pretty serious injuries, to say the least. They're going to survive and be well, but I was glad God worked it out for me to be right there in the middle state interstate highway before the ambulance got there to help those folks. But I'm telling you, the thing that protected them from death, guess what? Helmet. Why is it called the helmet of salvation, and why is it a helmet in the first place? What is Satan after in your life more than anything? Your brain. He wants to make you think differently than God. He suckered in a lot of folks. He wants to make you think there are other ways to heaven than through Jesus. And we got a group of folks throughout this world that are teaching there are many ways to God. Just choose one. Not what my book says. I am Yahweh, the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. That's about as plain as God's going to make it. Clear as mud, as we say. It is to protect your mind. Satan is after what you think. The Bible, what God is doing, he's saying, dawn every day, put on that helmet of salvation to protect your mind. What about the soldier? The strategy of the soldier, his thinking capability, the way to do war, protect it. And I am convinced the other, yes, last Friday at that accident, without helmets, those two folks on that motorcycle would not be here and even in the hospital today to tell you what happened. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshy or carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity of the obedience of Christ. Can you imagine if Christian folks learn to bring into captivity every thought they have in their mind to the obedience of the Lord? It'd be a different world. Our lifestyles would change. The unsaved man sees nothing wrong with being his own person and doing things just like he reasonably always has thought he'd do. His mind and his thought is on the earth. But not with the saved man, the spiritual Christian. The spiritual Christian has put on the helmet of salvation, and that helmet of salvation is intentionally put on every day to protect his mind, because Satan wants your mind. Just ride up and down our interstate highways, look at the billboards, watch the television. Look what Satan's trying to do with our mind. And then finally, the sword of the Spirit. Now, while the shield was always on the left, the sword for the Roman was always to the right. It was a double-edged sword. It was sharpened on both sides. The idea was to penetrate flesh, but to do more than just penetrate, to destroy. The sword of the Spirit is explained in this chapter, in this verse, because it is the Word of God. I remember going to vacation Bible school right here at Olive Springs, and I remember what we called the old sword drills of a child. Anybody remember that term? That's foreign term to most people today. Sword drills were Bible, using a Bible. We stood in a line, and the person called out a specific scripture. We were taught the 66 books of the Bible, where they are, where to find them. And that's where my foundation started, was right here in this church, of teaching me not only how to memorize scripture, but the books of the Bible and what's in the old and what's in the new. And our leader in this particular poem, Miss Chandler, Miss Compton, whomever, Martha Brantley, others stood up, and she would say, attention. We'd all stand at attention, have our Bible down to our right. Do I write in our hand? We even had then what's called sword drill Bibles. You remember those? And she'd say, draw swords. Now, some folks who don't know that term would duck if I said that now, but it was just picking up the Bible, holding it up. And then they call out the scripture, Genesis 1:1. And we'd all frantic find it. First one to get it, step out. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now, that may seem very mechanical to you, and that may seem very old-fashioned. People telling me I'm old-fashioned, now that's fine with me. I am. You see, I think we need to go back to the basics in all that we're doing. I think we need to do what Miss Pam said. We need to teach children the Word of God. I thank God for Awana and Sunday School Ministries who teach children to learn Scripture. To do what Psalm 119 says, hide the Word of God in your heart. So the sword is both for offense and defense. And God has told you that sword is for you. Miss Pam described it as a love letter written from God. That's exactly what it is. It is infallible. That it's our supreme authority for today, and it's inerrant. The original autographs was delivered to man without error. And that's what it is. So the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Bible is God's holy, holy word. I remember that statement years ago. You remember that little jingle, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You all remember that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, God said it, that settles it. Doesn't matter whether I believe it or not, because God said it. Well, that's the armor. There it is. But what do we do with it? It's a good sermon, Randy. Thank you. If I let you go now, I'd been halfway through, but I'm over about 7/8 through. But I want to show you what to do with this real quick tomorrow morning and when you go out of here. How do you do it? Well, here you are. There are four things. Look at that on your screen and watch with me, if you will, in your outline as well. Number one, there must be intentional preparation. There must be intentional preparation. The Bible says you put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now go down there to verse 13. And it says, take up, he says it again, two verses later. First, verse 11, he says, put on the full thing. Then he says, take up the whole armor of God. That whole armor, that's a word there in the Greek language that we miss in the English. The Greek language there, when it says to take up, it means to reach down and put it on specifically. I watch Michael sometime putting on his uniform for the police department. And I watch him, as I have to do too, with a bulletproof vest. That's amazing. You put on that vest and it holds everything up. Then when you let it down, it all goes back to where it was in the first place. But I don't have to wear a gun. He does. And he puts on all this stuff and he gets it set up and whatever. He knows there's some stuff in that uniform that has to be there that no one else knows about that protects him, that's got to be there. And unless those things are put on, he's not fully dressed as a police officer, nor any police officer is fully dressed without them. So the Bible says you put it on. So the first thing, there's got to be an intentional fact that you're going to do something about it. Intentional preparation. You've got to consciously desire to wear the armor of God on a daily basis. It just doesn't fall from heaven. And this is where I've messed up for 30 years. It must be a daily thing. When this thing finally understood and got in my brain that it's a constant thing of putting on the armor, of asking God to do it, and I'll show you a way to do it, that thing will become second nature to you. Secondly, there must be an intentional dressing of the armor. When the Bible says to stand, that little word means, just like I told you about the peace shoes here, firmly grounded down, without question, hunkered down, take a stand. And every morning, you intentionally, and I think everybody in this house has done that, intentionally decided you're going to put clothes on. Thank you. You intentionally decided to get up, take a shower, get dressed for church, and come. About 100% of us, we're fully dressed without question. There was an intentional part of this. You didn't get up and say, well, I'm just going to wear my pajamas to church. Or you didn't get up and say, I'm just going to wear my, forget that, we won't go there. But you know what I'm saying? There's got to be an intentional dressing, an intentional understanding of the armor. Years ago, Elvis Presley wrote a song, or sang a song called I Did It My Way. I like Elvis Presley. But that song's wrong. You can't do it your way. We have to do it God's way. And God's what God says, there's got to be an intentional dressing of the armor. There's got to be a moment that you realize what you're doing in your life. The third thing is simply this, from verses 14 through 17, there must be an intentional living in it. You got to realize you're walking around in armor. Now, not physical, but spiritual. Wherever you go, you're shod with the shoes of peace. That's what you're to do. Not adversity, peace. Walk each day like a soldier for the Lord. Your battle is found in that armor. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. And how do you do that? Do what we just talked about. Learn, memorize Scripture. Stay in the Word of God without question. Live in the armor. Can you imagine a Roman soldier in the wake of battle saying, "All right, it's over. I'm going to take it all"? Can you imagine Michael or any other police officer or anybody in our armed services that are in harm's way saying, "Well, I'm taking the armor off. I quit"? That would be suicide. And it's suicide for us in our Christian walk when we take off the armor of God. Then the fourth way to do it, here it is prayer. There must be intentional prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says it, praying always with prayer and supplication. That word supplication used to really stump me. But the word supplication is a little Greek word called deesis. It literally is translated prayer, but it means the agony of the heart. It means the petition of God from the heart. Pour your heart out to God. Be honest with God. People can be angry with God and they don't pray. Pray when you're angry with God. Say, "God, I'm angry right now. Help me." Dawn, put on that prayer, the very thing, because that's got to be the foundation of the armor. That's got to be where it starts, without question. There are three things the devil can't stand, ladies and gentlemen. A Christian who reads God's word, a Christian who shares his faith, and a Christian, a child of God, who prays. The Bible says that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need to learn how to pray. So, folks, in closing, I wrote a prayer that helps you every day to put on the armor of God. You see, tomorrow morning, when you get up and go to work or go to school, wherever you be, chances are you're not wearing shoes when you go to bed. Chances are you're probably wearing pajamas or whatever. You're going to have to change clothes before you, when you get out of bed, before you get to work. Most of us don't wear hats, perhaps. Some wear ball caps or whatever, and you might to your job. That's okay. But I want you to think in the morning when you get up. Matter of fact, look at this. Everybody look at the screen. Lord, dress me today. Dress me with your armor. As I put on my clothes for today, help me to realize I am also putting on your full armor. I place the belt of truth, remember what we said, of the gospel of Jesus Christ around my waist, knowing that everything I do this day will hinge on your truth. Give me strength to put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect my heart with your power. I place the helmet of salvation on my head and ask you to bring every thought I have. Try this one day. I mean tomorrow, today. Under captive to the authority of your will. And then I slip the shoes on my feet this day, realizing they're the shoes of peace of Christ, which firmly plant me in the work of ministry on this earth. I place the sword of the Spirit along my belt, knowing that it is both a protection and a defense to me as the devil and his demons seek to attack me. And Lord, I cover myself entirely with the shield of faith, knowing your love and protection throughout the day. I willingly and intentionally put on the full armor of God. Thank you, my Father, for dressing me today. In Jesus' name, amen. How do you put on the armor of God every day? Do it as you get dressed. Just do it as you get dressed. When you put your shoes on, these are peace. When you put your blouse or your shirt on, that's the breastplate of righteousness. When you put your belt on, gentlemen, remember, that's the belt of truth. It holds up everything till this day. Everything you put on, make it allude to this. And then walk out your door to face Atlanta traffic, the hecticness of your day, work, travel, everything, realizing that you just didn't put your clothes on today. You put on the armor. And folks, I guarantee you, it'll change your walk. I have copies of this for you if you'd like it. They're laminated, just like this. And they're at all the exits when you leave. There'll be some out here on this table, and they'll be in the foyer as you go. I didn't put a little magnet. I figured you might want to keep it in your Bible or whatever. And it's nothing from a book, folks. This was not copied from anywhere. It's just something I put together out of my heart based on my study for this message. Because I felt like we needed to have, and you needed to have, something practical. We are in a spiritual warfare. Look at the slide that's on there. And if you look deep enough in the slide, behind the darkness, you see an angel. God is there. We win. But the invitation is this morning. First of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ, what we have been preaching through music, the spoken word, and everything is John 3:16. For God so loved you that he gave to you the only son he'd ever have, that if you would believe, that means have faith and trust. That's a different word than simply believing there's a God. If you would have faith and trust that God will save you if you ask him, then this morning when we stand in just a minute, I'm going to lead you in a brief prayer to ask that very thing of God for him to come in your life. And maybe this morning you're like me. It's not been a daily thing of putting on the full armor of God. Then I want to challenge you to make a commitment this morning. I want you to challenge you to take this little prayer, and every morning when you get up, put it on your mirror in the bedroom or the bathroom or wherever you get dressed, and just be conscious of the fact each day of what you're doing. And put on the clothes that you're going to wear. But then in putting those on, allude them, make it an allegory to the fact to put on the very spiritual armor of God. And watch the devil, folks. He'll try to get you with everything he's got. But we're suited up for battle. And next Sunday, we're going to talk about the battle belongs to the Lord, and that's why. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the practical word of God, which teaches us not only about the armor, but how to put it on. And may this day we make that commitment. Now, folks, if you're in this house and you've been trusting works to get you into heaven, you've trusted everything possible other than the blood of Jesus, I want you to look up to God, not because of me, but in your heart, and say, Father, I've blown it. I've trusted works. I've trusted everything for my salvation. And for the first time in my life, I am asking you, Lord Jesus, not by my works, not by any credibility I can be, but by the blood of Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me. You died on that cross for me. You took every sin I'd ever commit, and I want you right now to come into my life. And folks, if you did that, and you meant that in your heart, you just set off a party in heaven. The Bible says over one sinner that repents, the angels in heaven are praising God with everything they got in heaven. And that's everything, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't want you to wait. I want you to come tell the world about this and make that public. The Bible says to profess me and confess me among men. Tell the world what happened. And you do that first by making it public in the life of the body of Christ, the church. And this morning, you may be like so many of us. We haven't consciously every day of our life put on the armor of God. Will you pray and will you say to God in your commitment, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to consciously put on your armor every day as I get dressed. And I'm going to be aware of wearing that armor throughout the day. And Father, as the devil tries to throw those fiery darts and they want to explode and burn me all over, I ask you for your power and your protection. And may I be, Lord Jesus, your ambassador, your peacemaker on this earth. I recommit my life to you. Make that your commitment this morning. This altar is open for prayer. This altar is open for you to do business with God. Where you are, all over this house, I'll be down here to receive you as God would lead you. And I want you to stand to your feet very quietly, if you will. Brother Barry is going to come to lead us as we sing in our invitation hymn. Simply turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's what I want you to do as we close this time of worship this morning with the armor of God. You come.